This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Donnie Chedrick with you until 10:35 tonight. Charlie Borges with me behind the glass. Shockingly, Charlie, intern Dom already bitching about my best of the AFC North rankings because he thinks the greatest quarterbacks in NFL history, in no order, are Joe Burrow, Caleb Williams, and Arch Manning, one of which has never taken an NFL snap.
He has...
I guess top three, not top five.
I say this with all the love and respect in my heart. This kid is going to go so far in this industry just by the sheer amount of people he's going to piss off by his stupid takes.
Oh, I mean, I think he's going to be at Fox or ESPN one day because he has like the holy trinity of what it takes, basically. He's going to have a Syracuse degree, which obviously perks up the eyebrows of like everybody who's ever worked in radio and TV.
Oh, wow. Newhouse.
If you went to Newhouse, you're a god. He is very smooth on air, and he is not afraid to say some of the most ridiculous things that any person would ever say. So he'll be working for one of the networks one day if he's smart.
He's smart on paper. It's in practice that
he likes it here a little bit too much. I need to start pushing him to like, hey, buddy, I think you could actually do some pretty big things.
I think he can go on ESPN. Him versus Stephen A. Dom D versus Stephen A.
God, could you imagine that? He would just say,
"Listen, Steve, just listen."
Yeah, you got to get the high pitch voice.
Dom D. Tommaso with your fan headlines.
Fan Hotline is where we find our buddy Nick Farabaugh. He covers the Steelers for PennLive.com. Nick, driving back from the jolly country of Canada. Nick, you on your way back? You almost back? How far are you on the travels here?
Yeah, I'm in Pittsburgh, just around, I don't know, 40 minutes away from where I am. It's a Grove City area. Just past, actually, just a little more south of that. Just past the good old Slimy Pebble, so... I'm not too far, man. I'm not too far.
Nick, are you one that would be upset by my best of the AFC North rankings, which I can review for you here if you want to hear some of them?
Yeah, go for it.
So the offense on the offensive side, including the head coach, is dominated by Baltimore. I gave them the nod at head coach, quarterback, running back, tight end, and offensive line. Cincinnati got the nod at wide receiver. And I know people can argue that, yeah, you want to go Joe Burrow ahead of Lamar Jackson. That's, you know, tomato for me. But I'm going to take a guy that should be a three-time MVP winner, and he already did win it twice. in that spot. So any arguments there by some of those?
I mean, no. I think head coach, I guess you could have some qualms with, but I'm not going to, you know, go at that. I think John Harbaugh is a great coach. Lamar versus Burrow was a good one, but I think I personally lean Lamar. I think running back's pretty clear. Wide receiver pretty clear. Tight end pretty clear. O-line is interesting, Donnie. I think that's interesting. You know, Baltimore, I think, does have weak spots on their line, specifically guard. I see an argument for even Cleveland in there just because they have some really players in Batonio and Poche and Conklin and Teller. Even the left tackle spot has been a little messy, but if DeJuan Jones is there, they honestly might have the best line in the AFC North. I don't think it's crazy to put Cleveland in there, but Baltimore is not a bad pick either.
Yeah, so I do think that Baltimore, Pittsburgh, and Cleveland are all pretty close there. Like, the Steelers, we just have to see it from a couple of their guys. Like, we have to see Jones and Faltanu actually be good. Like, we know Frazier is good. We know what they have in Sayamalu. McCormick's fine. He was a nice little surprise as a dude who wasn't expected to play much. The Browns dealt with a lot of injuries, so I'm wondering, like, are we starting to see some cracks there with their great offensive line play, because they did have one of the best in football for, you know, the early part of the 2020s. So that one, pretty close for me. The argument I made for Harbaugh right now over Tomlin is that the man has figured out the quarterback position twice, which is two more times than Mike Tomlin ever has. He was a rookie head coach the same year that they drafted Joe Flacco. He made the ballsy move to switch to Jackson when that time was there. And, you know, having a player like Flacco who won a Super Bowl, and okay, they haven't won the big one yet with Jackson, which kind of falls on the quarterback. But I mean, they're a regular now in the playoffs and they usually win at least one game. So at least right now, I don't care what the all-time winning percentage is or the head-to-head record is, or even overall division titles. I think right now it's John Harbaugh.
Yeah, I'm not going to argue with you about it. I mean, you know, even just Tomlin aside, I think you can make an argument for Zach Taylor in that spot. They have had a lot of success with Cincinnati. Obviously, they just had a crazy bad defense last year. But, you know, I think you can make an argument for him. I mean, even, you know, I know that the Browns have had an up-and-down tenure, but I do believe Kevin Stefanski is a good coach. So I think it's actually a pretty good division. But I would say, you know, right now, just based on where they're at, resumes, kind of adapting to the time too. I think Harbaugh's done a nice job of that. You know, he does use things like analytics at least to look at kind of probabilities on fourth down. He uses smart edge to the game. Like, I think that's also really, really important when you're talking about head coaches, especially head coaches that have been around. The best ones really age well with time because they work with the times. And so I do think Harbaugh's done a very nice job of that.
On the defensive side, I did give the Steelers a few spots here. I think defensive line, since the Ravens lost big Michael Pierce, that guy was a monster. He looked like he was 400 pounds. But the Steelers adding a couple of pieces there, including their first-round pick, and you can't ever count out Cam Hayward. The guy could be 45 years old, and I would still think that he would put together a pretty good season. So I think they have the best defensive line in the division.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I think the Steelers are one of the best defensive lines in football. If not, you know, I think it's up there. And so I think you absolutely have to make them the best defensive line. I think Cleveland has done a nice overturn this offseason. They should be good up front. Cincinnati's just, what a wreck, even still with, you know, Trip Hendrickson up in the air. And Baltimore's is good, but I don't think it's elite. It's just, you know, there's not a lot of superstars up front aside of Matabuike. But, you know, you have just really good players like Van Noy and Broderick Washington. Travis Jones is a good player. It's just good players, but I think the Steelers have a lot of star power plus good players. So I'll go with the Steelers too.
Yeah, I went with the Steelers then at edge rusher as well. Now, every team has a pretty good edge rusher, to its credit. I mean, even Van Noy with his sort of career renaissance in Baltimore, then you have, I mean, they have three of the best edge rushers in the league, this whole division does, with Watt, Garrett, and Hendrickson. I just feel like the Steelers as a collective have a better group. Like, they have Highsmith, they have Herbig, now Jack Sawyer. It feels like they have the depth that other teams don't.
Yeah, I mean, listen, Baltimore just doesn't have the star power the Steelers do. I mean, Van Noy's a good player. Odafe Oweh, a good player. They have just good players in that room. But it's not like it's elite stars like T.J. Watt and, you know, the second-tier guys like Alex Highsmith. And even, I mean, Nick Herbig, I mean, I think he's a very, very good and dynamite pass rusher. Sawyer's going to be kind of coming in as that run defender. You can argue, again, with kind of how we talked about the defensive line, like you can definitely argue the Steelers might have the deepest edge room in the entire league. I mean, it's up there. So I think the Steelers definitely take the edge group too.
Then I went with Baltimore again at linebacker and defensive back. It didn't even hit me before looking at this last night and earlier today. They now just have 4 first round picks in their defensive backfield. Baltimore does.
Yeah. I mean, I think their defensive backfield is probably the best. I mean, you have Malachi Starks in there now. Kyle Hamilton is a dominant player. Nate Wiggins had a good rookie year. Marlon Humphrey's still kicking it. So they have a really good secondary. I think they take it. Even though I think the Steelers will take strides there this year, I can't overlook slot corner. It's just a hole that they have. The Browns have a decent secondary, but guys like Greg Newsome haven't reached some of the heights they've had, even though Denzel Ward's awesome. Not even going to touch on Cincinnati for either position.
Yeah.
I mean, linebacker, I guess you can make an argument for Cincinnati. The linebacker play in this division, outside of like Roquan and Logan Wilson, the Steelers might have the like best overall group. I mean, the state of the Ravens linebacker room is not great. It's Roquan and Trenton Simpson. And
yeah, they don't have like a deep room.
Yeah, you can make an argument for Pittsburgh, Gary. If they get even solid play out of Queen Wilson, they probably actually take that with the depth they have, even with Harrison and Cole Holcomb and all those guys, Carson Bruner and Mark Robinson. I think the Steelers might have a real actual argument for the linebacker spot. And I think the Bengals do with Pratt and Wilson as well. But it's not that's probably the weakest – I think that's the weakest position group in the entire division. That's just my kind of feel there.
Yeah, and I'm still salty because the Steelers let my guy E-Rob walk. So now I don't know who I'm going to do a show with next season, and I feel like they replaced him with a lesser player in Malik Harrison, but we've already had that conversation, Nick. The next session of OTAs beginning tomorrow. Out of what you're allowed to tell us, Nick, some of your big takeaways from the first session of OTAs last week.
Yeah, I mean, one of them that I always look for is just the mentorships that you build in. I really liked that part of it. You know, just seeing Caleb Johnson kind of take the Jalen Warren's pass pro skills, I think was really cool. Him and Harmon are just so detail-oriented, and I just don't think the Steelers have enough detail-oriented players. Having those two be so meticulous about their work on the practice field, I think is a really good sign. Harmon, of course, with Cam Hayward as well. Those two mentorships, I think, are going to bear really good fruit for the Steelers. I think that's really important for them. Mentorships in football are key. They really are. You learn so much from veteran mentors. I think people maybe understate how important they are. Some people look at it and think it's not that important. It is. It's very important. Ask how many really successful players the veteran mentors they had. And it doesn't have to be a star. It can just be, you know, a really solid role player that's been around for 12 years. And it helps you so much. So I think that's really good. The other thing was Roman Wilson had a really good first week. Now, it's just 3 days of OTAs, and I'm not going to make, you know, the world of that. But it is important, at least, to get up on the right foot. And you know, that was the big thing. I think the Steelers, one, wanted to see him be healthy, and two, wanted to see him make some plays. And I think he did. And that's kind of the buzz that, you know, I've heard coming out of that, just the team really excited about Roman Wilson and thought he had a really good week. And when I watched him, I thought he had a really good week. He's explosive. He's got great hands. And he's able to do some things that some other people on the roster ain't able to do. I think that's really impressive for Roman Wilson. I think that's what he's looking at, right? He's looking at the niche of, can I be an explosive slot receiver and maybe play a little outside with improved route running? We'll see. The route running looks a little crisper. He's running a fuller route tree. There's some really positive signs, at least, but it's only 3 days. But we'll see where that goes. The other thing I will say is that, you know, Donnie, I thought this just kind of jumped out to me. The slot corner position is just a hodgepodge. Like, it really is. It's not a hodgepodge of nothingness, But it is a hodgepodge of like weird skill sets that none of them get you like super excited. Beanie Bishop can do some things. He's a little more explosive this year, but I don't think he's, you know, a certain answer there. Dante Kent is their seventh round pick. He was kind of a boomer bust player. Mm-hmm. He either had a PBU or gave up a 7-yard touchdown on like any given play. And then you kind of have DeSean Jameson, who's kind of an unknown future signing. I mean, they're not even using Sebastian Castro in there. He told me that last week. So the slot corner position is the one I'm pretty concerned about, Donnie.
So looking at some of the holes, because you brought up key positions that I would say still have holes, but we got so many positive reports from Roman Wilson last week. Is there a real shot they view him as, hey, you know what, he'll be the second guy to DK Metcalf? We're not going to worry about who's still out there.
I mean, I don't think they view him as that right now. He's got a chance to earn that, though, because I don't think, at least from what I've heard, I don't think we're going to see a move come down the pipe like next week. It's possible that, you know, they sign a receiver and it's nothing significant. You know, they signed a guy in Montana, Lamonis Craig, last week. Could they make another minor sign? Sure. But I don't think, you know, you're necessarily going to see Keenan Allen walk through those doors for mandatory minicamp. So he's got time. I think that's an important thing for him. But are they kind of talking about him as a wide receiver too right now in the organization? No. But he's going to have a chance to earn that. But I do think the Steelers are going to look at all upgrade options this offseason, look at what they can find, and who they can kind of add to the war chest of weapons that they want to have. And so right now it's just DK Metcalf and a bunch of guys trying to prove themselves. And I think the Steelers will kind of look to find a more proven option. But if they can't, Roman could at least rise up that depth chart.
When it comes to nickel corner, as you mentioned, is that something else where they would maybe peruse a little bit, or are they happy with the job that Bishop did last season? Brandon Echols maybe works himself into the fold too, who they brought in.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy. You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
From New York.
Yeah, I mean, from what I've heard, they're pretty happy with their slot corner position. Now, listen, I think differently, Don. I think you think differently on that front. But I do think they're happy with Beanie Bishop. And I think they're okay with, you know, letting Dante Kent maybe try and find his way, their seventh-round pick. Maybe throw Sebastian Castro in there a little bit at later points, since he's only playing secondary right now. He was a nickel at Iowa for 3 years. Echols told me on Thursday he wasn't doing inside stuff yet. He's just doing outside corner stuff. he can play the nickel. He only has 150 career snaps there, but he's repped it in practice before in New York. So he is nickel capable. Right now, they just have those three guys, though, Jameson, Kent, and Bishop. And D.D. Bishop did say he was running first team on Tuesday, so seems like he's the favorite to start there. Yeah, I mean, it's a concerning spot to me. I don't think the Steelers are really concerned about the slot corner position. Now, if they go, you know, to August and be really rough, just training camp and preseason, could look at, you know, a trade candidate or a waiver wire pickup, certainly. But right now, I don't really get the feeling that they're actively looking for slot corners.
Talking to Nick Faribault, he covers the Steelers for PennLive.com. Is Zach Frazier already their best offensive player?
I mean, it's hard to argue that. Him or DK. Metcalf certainly is a very good player. But I do think Frazier is probably the answer. I think people don't understand how good Zach Frazier was. He legitimately was as good or just slightly worse than Tyler Linderbaum. And Tyler Linderbaum is obviously one of the best centers in football. I mean, with the retirement of Frank Ragnow now, how many centers are there that are definitively better in the NFL than Zach Frazier? Creed Humphrey, for sure. Probably Tyler Linderbaum. And there's maybe a few others you can argue. But he's a top five center, and he was as a rookie. He was that good. And so, yeah, he is their best offensive player, I think. DK's not too far behind. Frazier is a cornerstone piece that you build franchises around. I imagine in a few years, Donnie, he will be getting a nice fat contract from the Steelers.
I mean, it keeps that strong lineage of center history going in Pittsburgh, that's for sure. I mean, there aren't many teams around football that I would think have a better line of centers than what the Steelers have had.
I can't think of a position group like that in the NFL at center specifically. You know, I don't know a team that had that lineage of centers. I think you can talk about lineages at certain positions like Green Bay, and just having three straight franchise quarterbacks is an absolutely absurd thing to have. That's a pretty impressive one. But like the Steelers and centers, it's just, it's a 50 to 60 year history of great centers. It's pretty insane how many good centers they've had. So I think that is one of the best things you can look at in the franchise's history. I mean, we can go all the way back to Mansfield and go up to now. That's how far back you can go.
Out of the rookies, who did you enjoy watching the most last week?
I had a ball watching Caleb Johnson, and it was for the exact reasons I told you, Don. I just love his meticulous approach to practice. You know, he was asking so many detailed questions about pass pro, and that's his weakness. Like, he acknowledges that's his weakness. He wasn't asked to do it a lot at Iowa, and there's so many different things about pass pro that you have to learn. He is trying to learn as fast as possible because he knows that's his way to being a three-down player. The other thing I will say, you know, they don't have many 11-on-11 periods. They had like one or two, Tony. I didn't know how he would look as a receiver. I've seen him catch screen passes, but, you know, actually splitting out, running routes, I thought that was going to be interesting. He has some soft hands. He made some catches in traffic. I thought that was encouraging. And it wasn't like he was a body catcher. He actually caught it away from his frame with his hands. I think that's natural. And being a natural hands catcher at running back is an important thing. So there's probably some more receiving upside than I think maybe people give him credit for. I'm not sure he's going to break the bank or anything with receiving yards, but can he actually do it? I think he probably can. So I really had a fun time watching Caleb Johnson. I thought he was the best rookie out there. So he's a guy that could really kind of vault himself up the board very quickly, even with Jalen Warren, who I really like. I just think Caleb Johnson is a guy that could really be a good piece for this offense.
Yeah, what is your expectation for how things could work out in the backfield? Like, what would be ideal for you?
Yeah, I mean, I think ideally, you know, when you have, in my opinion, you have three good backs, like Kenny Gainwell, I think you try and split that up as much as you can. Now, different matchups call for different things. If you're calling for a blitz-heavy team, you probably play Caleb Johnson a little less. You probably put in Jalen Warren a little more. But ideally, over the season, to me, you know, you kind of split that pretty evenly, you know, something like 45-45-10. I just love Jalen Warren's third-down ability. I love the ability to have him leak out as a receiver and do so many different things as a route runner. He's so tough. He's just a great pass protector, and I think Gainwell's shifty in space, too, to where you can get some things on third downs with him. But early downs, you know, there's not a more natural zone runner on the team than Caleb Johnson. He's a home run threat, even though his time speed doesn't say that. If you look at the GPS speed and the live tracking data, he's run 21, 22 miles per hour. That's very fast, by the way. That's around the same speed DK Metcalf runs at his peak speed. So he could fly when he gets going. So I think you would probably get somewhere around 45, 45, 10. But as the season goes along, I fully expect Caleb Johnson to take more and more.
How much did you buy into the Jonnu Smith stuff that came out at the end of last week?
Yeah, I mean, that was interesting. And I think you can probably buy into it on the fact that Arthur Smith publicly absolutely adores him. But were they seriously calling and asking about trading for him in like a serious capacity, or was it more of a what's up here and what would the cost be? You know, I'll say this: the Steelers call a lot of teams and gauge prices just to gauge prices, because you got to vet every move, and if price is lower than you thought it would be, you got to make sure you would be in on that move, even if it's for a tight end and the Steelers don't necessarily need a tight end. And so here's how seriously I took it. Not very. And so, Donnie, I don't think that it's much of anything. In fact, I think a lot of that was probably agent speak on that other side of that report, trying to get Smith a bigger contract in Miami because Miami doesn't want to pay him as much because he's going to be a 30-year-old tight end that bases most of his game off athleticism. There's risk to paying him. And so I don't think it's a very serious story here at all. Are the Steelers calling about weapons to add with DK Metcalf? Yes. Do I think it's going to be Jonnu Smith? No.
What about our guy, Zach Smith, putting out there the report on Trey Palmer? You think there's any legs to that?
I think there might be some in the fact that they are like inquiring about what they have planned for him. They're not going to trade for Trey Palmer. This guy had less than 200 receiving yards last year after Chris Godwin got hurt. There's things to worry about with Trey Palmer's game. He has moments, but there are things to worry about. So are they really creating draft capital to get Trey Palmer? I don't think so. Maybe if he's going to get cut in August, they'll trade conditional 7th or something. So have they called? That would stun me. Have they called in a serious attempt to trade for him? Probably not. And I think that's the difference. You know, when people say that the Steelers have called on this guy, it doesn't necessarily mean they've called with serious intent to trade. You kind of vet these things. And if it works out, it works out. But I think, you know, a thing like DK Metcalf came out of nowhere, right? And the Steelers kind of called about that, were obviously interested. They had an intent to trade for him. They had an intent to trade for Chris Olave. They got shut down on that. So I think there's intent behind some calls. Some calls, though, the intent is to kind of just vet and understand what the market is or the plans here, so you have an outline or a blueprint of what's going to be available at that position later on in the stages of the offseason.
How much of a concern is the TJ Watt contract?
I mean, in terms of it actually getting done, almost zero. It's going to get done. In terms of it being a talking point held over their heads for training camp, I mean, probably. I think it's probably going to last a while here. Listen, they have a contract offer out to them. They've been going back and forth. I heard that they have been discussing this as far back as the combine. So they have been in talks with TJ Watt for a pretty decent time, it seems like. So that is something to keep an eye on. When's it going to get done? If I had to guess right now, Donnie, I'm kind of conservatively guessing that it'll be like 5 days before the regular season, right? Cam, Moose, both happened then. And I thought Pat Freiermuth would get done maybe before training camp last year. That one wasn't far off, and it still took them another month and a half to get it done. So wouldn't be surprised if this TJ one draws on.
Nick Faribault, check out his stuff at PennLive.com. Nick, as always, thanks for taking the time, and safe travels with how much more you have left in the ride.
Yeah, thanks for having me on, man. Appreciate it.
There we go. Nick Faribault, check him out at PennLive.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Grilling season is in full swing, and Whole Foods Market has the essentials to make summer meals simple, flavorful, and affordable. With great everyday prices across the store, it's easy to build a crowd-pleasing spread without sacrificing quality. The 365 by Whole Foods Market brand offers a wide selection of grilling favorites, like no antibiotics ever chicken thighs, ground beef, wild-caught salmon burgers, and uncured hot dogs. There are also plenty of sides to choose from, including organic salad kits, kettle cooked chips, tortilla chips, and bold zesty salsas. For toppings and marinades, look for organic condiments like no sugar added ketchup and yellow mustard, plus spice rubs and sauces to bring extra flavor. To round things out, pick up sparkling water, organic lemonade, and pints of ice cream, plus organic cake cones for an easy summer dessert. There are so many ways to save on summer grilling favorites at Whole Foods Market.